item number 7, discussing the city of Lehigh becoming a purple-eyed city.
Okay. I guess I'm not.
Yeah, Stu wanted to, this is kind of sounded something neat, and he kind of asked about it and sent things around, so he said go for it. Let's teach us.
Well, I was approached by the, I guess, the Band Heroes Foundation about why Lehigh isn't a Purple Heart City. And I said, well, probably because no one's asked us about it. And this is on the heels of the city of Bend becoming a Purple Heart City. The city of Prineville is now one. City of Redmond is now a Purple Heart City. And it's cities, it's their way of showing recognition to the veterans that have been wounded in a declared war with the United States, or the veterans and servicemen and women that have lost their lives protecting us. And first, you know, what is the Purple Heart? Well, the Purple Heart is the oldest medal that our nation has. And it was developed back with George Washington. It's been around that long. And so, you know, I included a letter that, you know, my thoughts and why Lehigh should become a Purple Heart City. And as Oregon's newest city, I think it'd be, you know, kind of like making a small statement to the rest of the state, hey, come on, join us in recognizing our veterans, because there's also some legislation in front of our folks over in Salem this year on dedicating a Purple Heart Trail. And all the major highways are, we have 97, which is the World War II
Veterans Memorial.
Yeah. And all the major highways, and it was, they pointed out that when the sun comes up, 101 is a dedicated highway to veterans. And then I-5 is a dedicated, when the sun comes up, the other way. Okay, we'll start on that side. The portion of 84, the sun rises, I believe that's World War I.
No.
No?
Vietnam veterans.
Vietnam, okay.
I-84.
Okay, thank you. You know, so each major highway as the sun comes up touches a highway in memory of our veterans. So all the way to when the sun goes down over on 101. So that'll happen in, you know, over in Salem. But in talking with these folks, the cost to the city is zero. I received an email from Joel over at the Oregon Department of Transportation, and he is showing the sign to his engineers. The Bend Heroes Foundation has agreed to add 2 signs to their order of 7 signs. So the proposal is to put a sign at each end of Highway 97 on our welcome to Lehigh signs. And so they will match ODOT specifications. And what ODOT would need from us is a signed copy of the proclamation. So what I'm proposing is just for council to think about it tonight and take formal action at the February meeting.
Can you get us a draft of the proclamation to Ash?
I did.
Annually.
Here.
Okay.
Everyone have one, I think?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And there's, you know, a diagram or a picture of the sign that's proposed, and it's set, you know, of course, instead of Bend, it would say Lehigh. And the cost of the signs is going to be picked up by either our local veterans organization, I believe, Jim Fleming?
Yep, we already did it.
Already did it, okay, thank you.
We're paying for it.
And so the cost to the city would be zero.
Where are these signs going? Because when you said the wall, or kind of the, where do they go? Are you talking on the ODOT sign, says it, the city limits, like underneath the post or something? Okay, because I was worried about the chamber welcome signs, and I thought...
Oh, I'm sorry, no.
Boy, no, I'm not sure this will work.
It'll go...
It'll be on the ground.
This sign...
Underneath the...
Will go underneath...
Perfect.
On an ODOT sign.
Okay.
It's all meeting ODOT specification. It's really just, you know, a matter of our city saying, we recognize you, our veterans, and thank you, and we recognize and thank your families for everything. So I don't know if anyone has any...
Mine, anybody else? Greg?
I'm working, I'm on board.
My questions are, is, you know, currently the signs are out of place, you know, our city population sign, City of Lapine, population XYZ. They don't have the right population on them, and they're not in the right place.
They never did, Cam.
My need here would be that we get those signs put in the right place with the right population on them.
How far, where are they off on, now the number, I don't know anything about the number.
Well, the number is off by 150 or so. So, and that number is out there.
Okay.
So...
Yeah, we can email them on that. Would you make a note for me on that, email? But we'll email, I don't know what their rules are on updating that, because I noticed, if you actually look at the PSU thing, there isn't one right in Central Oregon, so, I mean, I just don't know if they do it every 5 years, or every 2 years, or, you know, they have a system on that, because they got tons of...
Well, I mean, if we're going to do it, and ODOT's going to do it, because they're the only ones that can do this stuff, then we ought to do it one time.
Yeah.
You know, do it right the first time, and I'm 100% of course for it, the whole idea. The Band of Brothers has discussed it.
The location of the signs is off?
Yeah, I think if you look at the north end of town, and then you've got another Lapine City Limits, down this, down by WikiUp.
Yeah, and that's wrong.
So, all I'm saying is I can't place it, but I...
Well, the city limits, I mean, you can look at the map. So the city limits is clear out there. Basically, it's at the wood carver, and that's where the sign is. It says that the state sign is out there. It says, welcome to Lapine.
It should be, what's that road that goes by?
Drafter.
Drafter. Right on the north side of Drafter, that's the city limits.
Right.
Right, but, are you guys telling me to make a move to 100 feet? I mean, I'm asking, because it costs them $300-400 to have a crew come out to does that 100 feet matter to you?
Well, they're going to change the sign anyway.
I'm assuming they're just bolting onto it.
They're just bolting on.
Well, I mean, they're out there dealing with the sign. Okay. They're going to have to do it.
I just want to know if you guys want to make an issue out of that.
Because
what is it? I don't know. They're not going to go survey it. So, it's, again, I'm asking because I don't want them to think, oh my God, you got to be kidding me. And I'm okay doing it. I just want to know if that's what you guys want. If it was a mile or a half mile or a quarter mile off, but I'm just talking, if it's just...
Well, is it...
I mean, is this issue the location or is this issue...
Where is the sign located now?
I think
it's out there.
It's out there, but it's a little... It's down toward the 50-mile sign.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah. So it's actually before the city limits? Or after the city limits?
It's... You're coming into the city, you pass Drafter, that's city limits, and then you go on down a ways, and there's
so it's the within city. The city limits.
It's within the city limits,
It's about a quarter mile off.
The one with the population on it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's about a quarter mile off.
But doesn't that...
It makes no difference to me, really.
I guess I'm confused.
Well, we'll look at where... I know where the city limits is, and I'll look at how far off it is, and if it's, 100 feet or more, or 50 feet or more, we can...
Yeah. No, I think... I'm totally supportive, buddy. I just think that... We've got an opportunity here. They're going to be messing with the sign. And
there's a difference between just adding one on it and actually drilling a hole. So I, if that sounds like that's what you want that sign moved. So that's what we'll do.
I think it ought to be in the right place, that's all.
Any, yeah. And is this one out here exactly at the bound border?
I don't know.
Well, it's right, the city, this side of City Hall. I don't know where the sign is. You look right at the map, 6th Street, I mean, so it's this property.
Well, no, the city limits actually is down.
It's
down there in the middle of the meadow.
Yeah.
Okay, is that where the sign is?
Roughly, it's actually closer to town than that, but I think, didn't it?
It may be closer than the other one.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, either way, I'm okay.
The north side's always been off. It's never been on the right spot.
And you said there's two of them out here?
And then there's another one down by Wiki up that says City of Lapine, which should come down.
2 miles.
2 miles, that's a directional sign. That's a total different kind of sign. I mean, are you talking about the 2 mile sign?
I think I am, yeah.
That's just a sideways sign when you come up to Burgess.
But you're talking about the sign at the very beginning where the woodcutter was.
Right.
Where it says population and then the Purple Heart.
Right, this is just going to be added to the sign.
Yeah.
That, at our, both ends of the city.
Yeah, that's fine.
Is all I was asking.
Yeah.
And it would be nice if they could update the number, population.
I agree.
Is it 160 more than what it says?
It's about that. Should be about, 1754?
Is that what our latest?
Yeah.
What's that?
Well, I just don't want my request to be thought of to them as thinking, I just opened a can of worms.
I think.
I know how to email them and ask Joel Carroll and just say, we're going to do the Purple Heart thing, and that's going to happen in February, and, you know, when we put up the signs, we have noticed the population needs to be updated. And the population sign's always been actually not at the city limits boundary, and then, you know.
Okay.
Let them, if they move it, you know, maybe they very well will come down and move it to the right spot.
And just say, oh, and by the way.
Yeah. I think they'd be fine.
Okay.
Consensus, council?
I like it.
Yeah, come along.
So the agenda item.
The sign of Purple Heart? Purple sign.
And updating the population, I'm for that.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Three.
Item number 8, other matters.
Tomorrow, you'll all be here at 1:30, we're not feeding you because it's at 1:30, so there'll be snacks, so just make sure you've come, you know, and eaten when you arrive. We'll have a little vegetable tray and stuff like that to keep your energy up, but will you all be here?
1:30 to 4, right?
1:30 to 4, and so we're all set. They've been sending stuff back and forth, and we've seen the PowerPoint, kind of, and so, yeah. So you get 4 hours tomorrow.
We'll do a break at 5 minutes every hour.
Are you going to feed me?
Snacks.
I just thought I'd ask.
No.
You have, I said, you have to bring your own snacks.
Okay.
I mean, no, snacks.
Bring your own food.
You need to eat your own lunch.
I can do that.
We're having vegetable tray.
Great.
So.
I have to leave one work to come here.
Right.
But I want to be involved with that, so.
It's about a half hour before you're supposed to go home. Did you leave it too? Normally, so.
How did you know that?
It's my job to know what you people do.
Oh, my gosh.
Shoot.
What am I doing at 1:30? I don't know.
Okay, let's get along here. Staff comments, more?
Nope.
Let's talk about the truck. I don't know anything about it other than, I know we got a new truck, so there's something else going on with it.
We got two new trucks.
Two new trucks, okay.
Next week we'll be getting lights and sirens.
Yeah, no, the trucks look good with our logo, and Stu saw them and sent a picture around. It says Public Works, and they're going to add some more on it.
Yeah, and a little ordering glitch with the sticker guy, but yeah, they're on their way now. We'll have a list shortly for a council meeting for you to declare surplus some of our other stuff that may be in running or less than that condition. So we can be rid of.
That's going to be a long list.
Yeah. He's working on that for the spring.
I mean, I've been out at the sewer plant. I know it's a long list.
Yeah. We get some new chairs out at the Public Works for the tables for the so we can have meetings out there. So we'll have, I think, our Public Works meeting maybe next month. We'll have it out there at the Public Works building. Okay. And then they got a desk coming, and we'll have so that our other two guys are going to get emails. We're going to train Johnny and Mike.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Mike already.
I get what you're saying.
He's younger now.
Yeah, but actually, I talked to John today. So, like, they were talking about you're going to do work orders and things like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ashley? So that means just all part of our Casell software, you know. They can key in and say, we went out and did XYZ. We put in a meter, whatever, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then it's in our database rather than, you know, right now. And I've been, when they do, when I get the payroll, when they get called out, they've been stapling on kind of where the call was and what it was. But we could kind of start to enter those into the computer.
Good.
And so just part of modernizing. And now they've been reporting. I don't know if they kind of report to work there, but they get there. You kind of base out of there now. They instead of hanging out at the Public Works or the
sewer
plant.
Yeah.
Is that how you're doing it? Is
yeah. Yeah, there's things you have to open up and get going for the day at the treatment plant and then come to Public Works. Whatever we need to do for the day happens out of there.
So it's starting to function that, and the staff likes that. It's a cleaner, nicer place, and, you know, kind of the way it's supposed to be. And he parks that truck inside sometimes, so you haven't seen his truck.
There's a garage. You may as well be in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So at night, that's where he's been parking it.
Yeah.
Other than that, we've been doing all kinds of things. I am sending out, which she just edited it for me, Ashley did, but kind of a press release you'll see in the Newberry when it comes out next year. It just came out, I believe. It's not coming out as often.
Or as regular.
Yes, it's a bit sporadic, but whenever it comes out, we'll have a thing on the kind of the code enforcement with recreational vehicles. So we want the public to know, so that they kind of get a worrying out there that we're going to start, you know, kind of getting people to not live full time in RVs as a permanent residence. And so, and to call us, we'll work with you. Kind of drive safety, we'll contact us, we'll give you time to work it out. I mean, if someone's been in one for years and it's all skirted, you know, you could give them, I mean, literally a year or two. I mean, it's because that's has been their residence and where they've lived, and you kind of got to work with it. There's one in particular I can tell by the flowers and all the stuff. They have been there. So,
I know another one a vet lives in. Joe.
Yeah. The code enforcement is working, though. The last meeting you talked about, I put out a few letters, or hand-delivered some letters in the one place. Schedule, there's leaps and bounds over what it was when we took
the. And today, when we were out putting the barricades up at Kegel, the guy, I never met this one neighbor, he was out there, so I introduced myself, and I told him what we were working on out there, and he says, yeah, this house down the street, he says, that's our third, that dumpster in there, the big drop box, or second or third, and that's one that we've been working on, and they had stacks of sacks. I mean, they were as high as the house. I might have sent a photo to you guys, but yeah, those sacks are 90% gone. And so you really are kind of, you know, we got one that wouldn't let the county on the property. So that's our first one like that. So, you know, we'll see where that one goes. Interestingly, that was in a subplot or let's just say it was connected, although this didn't happen there, but they are involved in that last shooting in the neighborhood down in that area. So see, code enforcement plays with many of the same characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so what we're really doing is we're helping crime issues mm-hmm. with code enforcement. Mm-hmm. And I sent the photo of the barricades going up today to Captain DeLuca, and he says, that sounds great, where he blocked off that road. Because no one's using it, it's up to any good.
Yeah.
So, Tomorrow morning I'll be at the forecast breakfast. I don't know if anyone's going, but that's one annual thing that you just got back. So, but at 7 a.m. I'll be at the River House for the annual. There's usually several hundred people, and they do the big economic forecast on where, how, what Central Oregon's going to be in the next year. And so I'll be down there for a couple of 3 hours and back here.
There's some good information that comes in. There's some good information that comes out of that whole thing. I've been to several of them.
Yeah, and I you didn't have a chance, but I did kind of contact a couple legislators.
I saw that.
Transportation funding, you know, we need the money for these transport, these highway projects, and no one wants the gas taxes or anything else, but the legislature is struggling with transportation funding. It's very expensive, and the federal tax has been frozen since like 94. Well, I think everyone knows that that won't work, and the state one, they put some into bridges and they've done different things, but there's already a battle brewing the legislature, and that was in the bulletin today, had a story on it. And then I was listening, and Lars Larson had our Senator Whitsitt on, and I listened to our senator on the Lars Larson program, and so that made me send an email to Mr. Whitsitt.
Made you nervous?
Well, he just kind of, you know, trivializes, you know, if you want to, I mean, what drives me crazy, you're listening to this darn thing, and Lars, you know, he's carrying on that several hundred million a year is going to pay the debt on projects that they funded years ago. Well, he's right. Mm-hmm. They went and borrowed $500 million to do bridges years ago, and then during the downturn, they borrowed $200 or $300 or $400 million to jumpstart projects. And you know, Lars is like, well, if we hadn't borrowed ahead, we'd have another $200 or $300 million in our ODOT budget every year right now. And then he's kind of agreeing, and I'm about to come through the radio, and I'm thinking,
yeah.
Well, but then you take away those projects, they would be on the list.
And there'd be no transportation going on, all of the mobile roads.
I'm not into actually borrowing ahead. I think we need to stop that. But the point is that those projects, and I'll give Whitsitt credit, he said, don't really blame ODOT for that, because all those borrowing type ahead things were approved by the Oregon legislature.
And he's the Republican leading member for the Senate Transportation Committee.
He said he was going to start getting into it more. My message to him has been that, you know, highway projects are important to cities of all sizes. Our people are driving basically, you know, down there. We need safe roads. We need passing lanes. You need that separated highway. You need signals here and there. And it's you can't just freeze it in time. The big battle, I guess, is, and I talked to Mike McClain on the phone. And he said he the big battle is that the Democrats want some sort of a carbon deal that could add 10 to 40 cents a gallon. Mm. Now that doesn't build a mile of road. It's nothing to do with infrastructure. It's programs for carbon
reduction
in emissions. Mm-hmm. So Mike McClain, I told him I'd have to get back to him. So that tells you something. Mm-hmm. He said, okay, Rick, you take my place. We've got this sitting here for the 10 or 20, 30 cents on carbon, on this carbon issue. The Democrats say they're going to the bank on that, and we can't stop them. Okay, so that happens. You're saying we were going to have to do something for the transport, for actual roads, so you telling me you want us to then approve another 5 or 10 cents for the highways? And I said, you know, probably. I said, because one doesn't help a highway. I said, you're going to have to look at them separately. He said, we can't stop the carbon thing. I don't know. But anyway, I did contact a couple of them today, because they start Monday and then you can't. And then some of you signed up, Ashley had mentioned that, the city's
there. Here it is. Here it is.
So any of you want to bring
that
up?
I couldn't find a paper for that, guys.
We can go into the city days at the Capitol. And it's sort of there was an email that came to everybody.
Okay.
And if you wanted to visit the legislators, that's Whitsitt, Senator Whitsitt, and Mike McClain is our two reps. It's great to go in and
Gene Whitsitt would see us.
Oh yeah, Gene Whitsitt too, and sit down with them and just talk about these things. And I think transportation, because ODOT is already saying that some of this money that's already sort of allocated to fix these streets out here Ain't no money. And if unless the federal trust fund comes up with a raise for taxes for roads, half of that stuff could go away. So we're talking about, you know, they've got us in the 16, 15, 17 STIP to start working on this corridor through town.
The signal light?
No.
No, that's done.
That's okay. Gonna start. That'll be doing that. But I'm just saying that the rest of it, anything after that, there's no money. The feds don't have any money. So those pieces that the states count on to join their money with is not there. So
yeah. And it's, you know, it doesn't matter if you're Klamath Falls, Lapine, Spray Oregon, it affects everyone.
Well, it's, yeah, your freight is moving across it.
Yes.
Yeah. And if your freight doesn't move, just like the earthquake, you're not gonna get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to see, excuse me, go ahead.
No, well, this is, I heard on the news tonight there was an 86% cut on the fire, and I said, what does that?
On the fire budget, or?
Yeah.
Something.
They were saying it was going down to nothing.
Yeah, it's because we had something to do with the number of fires, and they weren't happy that with enough preventative method. Yeah.
That federal budget you're probably talking
about. Yeah, the federal budget.
So cutting. They're going to have practically nothing to work on.
Well, sometime we need to get Greg Walton, because, you know, the federal one needs to be addressed. And Greg, obviously, being the leadership of the Republican Party, who now has controls of the House and the Senate, although he's in a little bit of a bind there because within the Republican Party, you've got two schools of thought.
Yeah.
But we need, I think, to hit Greg up sometime.
Yeah, I think it's also important for us to know as a city that the gas taxes is at the level it's at. The money's not coming in because we've got all these optional modes of transportation, from bicycle to pedestrian, and that money gets spent from the gas tax dollars,
yeah.
Believe it or not.
No bike license.
So we can look at our money that we'll get next year, or coming up in our budget, it's not going to be as much.
Well, see, we get, actually that's one thing people don't realize, the gas tax, state raises the gas tax and it's split 50-50, the state of Oregon only gets 50% of that. The other 50% is divided between the cities and the counties. So Deschutes County, you know, is going to start paving Huntington Road and all that. That's where they get their money. So in a city, basically all of our money, we get about 75, 80 grand a year that we use to grade the snow plow and do all the things. That is coming from the state. And so if they go up, say, 5 cents a gallon, and they take in another whatever, proportionally, we'll see the same increase in our local, so to put on roads. So it's not really, the state's only getting half of that.
Well, and you may not see it as much as you would think, because the gas taxes that's coming in is going down already.
Mm-hmm. Because people drive less and because electric cars.
Yeah, electric cars, people drive less and all that kind of stuff.
But you guys remember that in the past years they were telling about more fuel efficient cars, so it would be less important, dependent on imported oil. Well, what happens with more efficient cars? They don't use as much gas, you don't get your tax revenue.
Yeah.
So, tell everybody to go buy some brakes.
There you go. Council comments?
Trucks, yeah.
Anybody? Okay, I've made mine.
See everyone tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Motion adjourned.
Thank you.
All those in favor?
Aye. All right.